B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Okay, Tyrone joining us from Mike Pisanelli's show, Tyrone Johnson. Ty, one of the, I'm just asking the question because load management is going to be a term next year that we're going to talk about.
Absolutely.
With Embiid more and more and Kawhi this year.
Yep.
The load management was perfect for him, obviously, in the way he's played in the playoffs so far. And I'm looking at the NBA, and there's so many things they do great. You know, they market their star players better than any league. The fact that you can, the referees can go to the scoring table and review something very quickly on an iPad,
yep,
whether it was a three or whether it was a flagrant, whatever, is using technology to the sport's advantage to do one thing, to get it right.
That's, yes, absolutely. They did a really good job doing that. Even, yep, if you disagree with the calls, they did it in a way that was transparent, and they usually explain it to the TV announcer.
Yeah, who's sitting there.
Right, on microphone, yeah, so you hear exactly what he meant.
Yeah, and I love that. I think, you know, when you look at the NFL, officiating's an issue.
Yes.
As we saw this year with the New Orleans Saints. And in the NHL, it's an issue you saw last night.
Right.
Front and center with a hand pass for the game-winning goal in overtime. So I think the NBA does a lot of great things. But the one thing that concerns me is that star players will roughly miss 25% of their games because of load management.
It's a tough situation. They cut down, as Andrew just mentioned, on the back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
This was the issue in the Sixers case, and it actually hurt Embiid directly. You have Embiid who comes into the season with the knock of he's not healthy. The Sixers played half of their back-to-backs in the first 21 games of the season.
Wow, how many back-to-backs total did they
had 10 for the season.
Mm-hmm.
They played 5 in the first 21 games.
Wow.
And then they had 5 the next 61 games.
And he played 54 of the first 58 games.
He played all of the first 5 back-to-backs.
Wow.
And when you look at the tendonitis, that's where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen, jumping at the Knicks, the All-Star game. It wasn't any of that. It was the accumulation from playing all those games early. When the Sixers played the Raptors the first time in December, at that point, each team had played 26 games. Kawhi had played 20 of those 26. Embiid had played 26 of those 26 at that point.
Okay.
And that's
wear and tear.
Yeah, so Jason Stark actually was on with Mike yesterday, and he talked about this. The sports science has, in a way, will help you win a title, but it hurts the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Less is more. And they say that in baseball now, and they say it in basketball as well. I'm sure at some point it'll get to the NHL, but you're able to roll lines. And my guess is what'll happen is, why'd you only play your line one X minutes? And they'll say, it'll be sports science as to why. Maybe it won't be sitting out, but rather than 15 minutes, it becomes 13 or 12.
Yeah.
They treat the first line like a fourth line every 10th game or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to come. The sports science is an issue, and fans are going to have to adjust to that, or what the NBA is going to have to do is find a way to make you want to watch the players that don't normally play.
Okay, yeah, that's not going to happen. It's like watching a substandard product when you know that the best are available or can or should be available. That's a hard ask.
It is a hard ask. What I mean is, if you have a young rookie,
mm-hmm,
whoever the Sixers draft 24th, for example, they won't get a lot of minutes because this would be a team in contention. Okay, people, Embiid's out, but I know you've
here's
been waiting.
Your chance.
That kind of thing is how you might sell tickets locally. I think the other part is, unfortunately, you're going to have to, it might hurt the road attendance. You're going to have to sit the people on the road and make sure we're going to give you 41 home games with your guys.
Yeah.
The 41, I can't make any promises,
yeah,
on the 41 road games.
Yeah, but it's weird, like when the Sixers are going through the process, games like against Cleveland when LeBron, or Miami when LeBron was there, they sold out because people weren't coming to see Isaiah Cannon.
No.
They were coming to see LeBron.
Absolutely.
And if he's being load managed and not playing, then all of a sudden that ticket loses a lot of value.
It does. And there is no, and here's the problem. We just saw Embiid, let's take just the regular season for 1 second. Embiid had a phenomenal regular season. Take the playoffs out for a second. A phenomenal 27 points, tons of double-doubles, led the league in 30 and 10 double-doubles.
Mm-hmm.
All that happened. Nobody cares.
Because it doesn't mean anything once you get to the playoffs.
And that's the tough spot that the organization is in. Because it's like, if I give you Embiid 75 games, and he has a great regular season, will you be more forgiving in the playoffs?
No. Because it's all about getting to a title.
So therefore, it's like the fans themselves, their own expectations, which I don't blame them. I don't blame you. I don't blame any fan. Kind of sets up a situation where they have to do that Because ask any Sixers fan, some of those games that he gave you, some of those thrilling games that Embiid gave you, the 40-20 game he had against the Pacers, would you sacrifice that 40-20 game for him being healthy in the, with the Raptors series? Every fan would sign for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough, tough thing, and I don't think there's a perfect answer.
Yeah,
I don't think there is an answer.
Because they're not going to lessen the amount of regular season games they play.
No, that's not realistic.
They're not going to do that so the star players can play in a larger percentage of the regular season games. They're just not going to do that. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how much of an issue it is around the league. You know, when you're a team that is bereft of stars, maybe it's more of an issue because you want to see those players play when they come to your city.
Absolutely. Like, one of the issues, the real reason Hinkie turned into Colangelo, which turned into Elton Brand, was not because of the Sixers' home attendance. The NBA did not mind that the Sixers were willing to sacrifice their attendance to better their product. The issue was the road attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever the Sixers went, it became a tough ticket. And that's the part that's
tough. Because you're seeing a substandard opponent.
Right. So what happened is, if you have a good team at the time, Miami, the Rockets, when they acquired Harden, OKC, when they still had Durant, wherever it may be, most of the time that's a hard ticket. The Sixers games, they're StubHubbing for $6.
Yeah, you can buy a row for $15.
And that was the reason. So when they went to him about that, it was like, it's not that you're hurting the Sixers, because they have history, because they have Wilt and Dr. J and Barkley and Iverson have been, and now Embiid and Simmons have been, a tough road ticket throughout their history.
Yeah.
During the process, they were not.
Yeah.
And that made that process, that made it difficult, because if I'm a Miami fan, and the only game I can get is a Sixers game because they're hot. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you do it, but
there's an integrity of the game issue, too.
Right. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought this up. This is something that's complicated, and it's the offseason, and the load management is going to be everything, though, because if Embiid is sound in the playoffs, the Sixers can win a title. And it's almost like you have to do whatever it takes in the regular season to make that happen. And that means that
at all cost.
Right, and that means fans will suffer at times, and I wonder if they have the stomach for it. Now, yeah. I hope that people will let you know if they do.
Yeah.
I think that's a compelling question.
Yeah, it really is. I look at, like, the other leagues. I look at the NFL. We always say there's not enough NFL games.
You right.
16, it's pretty much perfect the way the NFL is. They always leave you wanting more.
Yes.
But that being said, their players play, if they're healthy, they play every game.
Right.
You know, and in the NHL, their players try and play every game.
They absolutely do. And I think I have a theory as to that's part of the reason why the playoffs are so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Because I think the grind of that season to finish with 100-plus points sometimes makes it tough to then ratchet up another level in that physical of a game.
Yeah.
I personally think the NHL may be too physical to play 82 great games and then have a great playoff run.
Yeah.
At times. Yeah. Not all the time, but at times.
You're right.
I do think that.
I mean, I think the biggest issue that plagues the NFL and the NHL is the review system.
Yeah.
I think those are the two biggest issues. I think the biggest issue in baseball is that the playoffs aren't more prompt. Not enough teams make it, so there's not enough variables. Once your team's out, your team can be out of it in mid-June, and you're playing out the string of 90 more baseball games.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. Thankfully, with the Phillies, we're not there anymore, but we saw that how many years?
Oh, yeah. A majority of the years of Phillies baseball has been that way.
And the ballpark becomes the draw, because
that's never good.
And that's what I mean. The ballpark, how long has that been with the Orioles?
Yeah.
The ballpark has been the draw, and I thought the Phillies for a while were in danger of becoming that, and then they had this big offseason to stop it. But this season, if they didn't have Bryce Harper and all the guys they added, McCutcheon and everybody, Segura, maybe they're not. Maybe it's the Citizens Bank Park selling the tickets and not the franchise.
Yeah, eventually people want the product, though, on the field to be what draws them in, not the location or the park. So we asked a question earlier. I know you guys talked about this on the show yesterday, and I cited your poll earlier, which was 51-49. Was the Sixers season a success or failure? While that's not a perfect poll, because I would never call it a complete failure, but was the Sixers season a success?
In my opinion, it was. I disagree with Mike, and this is the reason. As a person who watches the NBA and studies the history, the Sixers, unfortunately for us as fans, are exactly where they're supposed to be. And there is no time machine in winning. Whether it's Jordan, LeBron,
Kobe,
it doesn't matter. Shaq, especially.
You can't microwave a title.
You can't. And You win a title when you're ready. And when are you ready? You're ready when you're ready. And you had one of the big things was people cite Magic Johnson. And we hear
that was a ready-made squad.
Ready-made squad. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was literally league MVP the year the Magic jumped center and led them to the title. And we've also, this is another thing for people that are hard on Ben Simmons, and I don't mind that. Magic Johnson didn't run the point his rookie year. Norm Nixon was the point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Magic was off the ball for the first title, and then later he pushed Norm Nixon out. They are able to put Magic in a role. He wasn't the lead dog. They also cite Larry Bird, who won in year two. A little bit different. One, Bird was 24 when he entered the NBA.
Yeah, he was a man
that
already.
That would never happen. And Parrish had already been around. So they're right where they're supposed to be. And if the fact that Embiid was able to finish this season on his feet versus surgery or sitting out a game seven, to me, is a success because this is unfortunately how you learn. You do a fan or a coach can say whatever they want to a player. The experience is everything. Jordan averaged 35-plus points a game. They got swept in the first round. He had to learn that averaging 30 is better than 35.
For the team.
For those, because those three assists that I get help the team.
Yeah.
The only way he learned that, and also he lost in the first round. Michael Jordan, by the way, three times in his first 3 years in the first round.
Yeah.
And was swept twice. Lost in four another time. He didn't make a game five his first three times in the playoffs. This squad has now advanced twice. They're where they're supposed to be. It stinks. I'm still hurt by it.
Yeah.
But they're not behind. They are not behind based on these guys were the second time ever in the playoffs. They won a round each time. Next year's the year.
Okay, that's what I want to get to last. Because we had somebody call to bring the Heat line, and they said, this was our year. They were so disappointed in what happened Sunday. And I get the disappointment, and it was a dagger. And so, you know, you lose, on a shot like that from Kawhi.
Yep.
That being said, is next year the year where we can say, this is our year for the Sixers?
I believe so. And I say that even without Butler and Tobias, because I don't believe they're going to come back bare. What I mean is, when Dirk Nowitzki won his MVP, it was the year they let Steve Nash go.
Mm-hmm.
Letting Nash go made Dirk a better player. He got to the finals that year. They lost in the finals.
He took it on, too.
But he was league MVP. They made the finals that year. He lost to D-Wade, who came out of nowhere in that series. Then later on, they win a title. He became a better player because he had to become a better player. And what I'm saying is, regardless of Tobias and Butler, because I believe they will replace them somehow, these two guys maturing will be enough to get you to the finals. I don't know if next year's the title year, but it's get to the finals year, and then you don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know who's going where.
Yeah, if Kawhi ends up in the Western Conference or if he's staying East.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen, but next year's the year because that would be the development.
Okay.
The heartbreak, unfortunately, has to happen because NBA history says it always has to happen.
Yeah, and you can't buck history.
And it stinks. I don't like it. And I'm not like, oh, you're saying it was a suspect. No, I'm not okay with them losing. I'm saying the reality was always more likely that two guys in the in their second playoff run were not going to make the finals.
Yeah. Do you believe Butler and Harris will be back, or both?
I believe that at least one.
Which one?
I believe Butler more.
Okay.
I think Harris, but I honestly think that if Butler re-signs, that makes Harris more likely to sign. So order will work out, will play a role. And then I also wonder if Elton Brand has a feel that Colangelo and Hinkie didn't have about who may want to play here. And I think
around the league.
Yes, and if they don't get Butler and Tobias, I think there'll be a reason, and that might mean a bigger fish.
Okay. Whoa. You got a name?
I would say that I thought Clay was a really, really long shot. I don't think it's as long a shot as I thought
it
was.
Is that right?
And he fits actually better than both of those guys.
Great defender.
And he never has to dribble.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who doesn't need the ball.
Yeah, he'll score 35 points and dribble the ball seven times.
Right. So now Ben Simmons is able to be fully Ben Simmons. They don't have to run any pick and rolls. You imagine the dribble handoffs. You sub out JJ and put in Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
He runs around Embiid, catches it, boom, splash.
In the net. Yeah, good.
I think there's a possibility of that.
I'll sign for that.
Yep, we'd all sign for that. Now you have three elite defenders. and a great shooter to give the big man space.
Mm, I like it. Ty, thanks, man.
No, thank you.
Enjoy the golf course today. 610-632-0975. That is the number. Get some open lines if you want to jump on right now here on the Midday Show. We're live at Downingtown Country Club, the Mike Miss Open on 97.5 The Fanatic. Time for to tell you about Window Nations. Graduation time. Which means not just for schools, but time to graduate your home up to new energy-efficient windows from Window Nation. And as a graduation gift, all window styles are 50% off. You choose beige, bose, double hung, wood, vinyl, any size, any color, all custom-made and all 50% off. That Window Nation's massive buying power. It's a diploma in deals, and they'll pass the savings on to you. And it gets even better. Make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. And if you call Window Nation this week, take 50% off every window, plus get free blinds with the purchase of a house of windows. New windows, they save energy. They improve the look of your home and the value. Now 50% off with no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 months, plus free blinds. Call Window Nation today. You'll get a free in-home estimate. They'll come out the next day, provide you a quote valid for a full year. School year's about to end, so is the deal. So hurry and make the call to 866-90-NATION or online at windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION or visit them at windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Back live, Mike Miss Open. By the way, proceeds from this event benefit the AACR, the American Association for Cancer Research. They're the world's finest, first, and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. And it's all presented by Corona Premier. Here's the number, 610-632-0975. Got some wide open lines right now. No waiting if you want to chime into the program to discuss any of the things we've been talking about, success or failure when it comes to the Sixers season. Jason tweets in. He says, hard for me to label the year success or failure, but more of a disappointment. Pretty simply just looking at the Raptors series because they had a 2-1 series lead after dominating a pivotal game three. That certainly was a disappointment. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that's totally fair to say.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I mean, I'm still disappointed. I'm still bummed. I'm almost like Anthony. I'm not wearing the black veil over my face right now like I'm at a funeral, but I'm bummed out, man.
Yeah, well, I'm over it at this point because you just can't hang on to it. Yeah, I can't let it keep bothering me going forward. So I make that conscious decision to just move forward. Tyler tweets in. He says, Sixer season's like a B-minus in school. Solid grasp on fundamentals, but aren't yet masters of the knowledge and craft necessary to get an A. There was progress this year. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you're like wanted to grade individually players or the coach, like what grade would you give the coach? What would you give Brett Brown for this season and playoffs, Andrew? Would you give him like a solid B+?
Yes, I would give him a B+. Going into the playoffs, I mean, I was on record pretty much saying I'm pretty much out on Brett Brown because I didn't expect him to make adjustments in the playoffs. And he did make those adjustments. So, I mean, it took a big leap for me. I guess you could say I was in the C's, and then I got up to the B+ because he did what he had to do come playoff time.
All right, well, then give me your grade on Ben Simmons because he's like one of the most polarizing athletes in Philadelphia right now. There's the trade Simmons. He doesn't play. He can't shoot. Get him out of here. And you're never going to win with a guy who can't shoot in the NBA. And then there's the guys like, dude, just chill out. He's going to develop.
I would give him a B. Solid B. Okay. Yeah, like I almost lean toward B-, but he did play overall better than he did last year. So I can't give him a B- because of that reason. I get what you're saying about the jump shot. I'm frustrated about the jump shot as well. I was frustrated about his lack of aggression at some points during the playoffs, even at points during the regular season. But I'm still going to give him a B because he did make progress from last year.
Okay. I agree. He did make progress all. The only problem is the one area where we really wanted to see at least a little progress. We weren't asking for him to come in and be a great shooter this year, but the lack of the willingness to shoot is the thing that really sticks in my craw when it comes to him. You had so many opportunities in games where you had a huge lead, and if he's playing in those situations, shoot it. Why not try it in those situations? I just don't understand how reticent he is to shoot. It's almost crazy. I asked Tom Moore that. I said, have you ever seen a player with his advanced skill set be less willing to take a shot, a jump shot?
That isn't a center. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, like, it's nuts. It's mind-boggling that a guy that's been playing that game for as long as he has, because you know when the players are in the gym, what do? They go to what? Shoot around. They don't go there to go lay up around or dunk around or pass around. They go to the court and they shoot around. It's what they do. You take shots, right? Everybody does it. How does he still have no confidence in a shot to not take it? He took one shot in the playoffs beyond 10 feet and none beyond 12. How's that possible? Can you explain that to me? That's insane.
No, I can't explain it to you. I get it. I'm frustrated as well, but I still think he progressed from last year.
Yeah, well, you're right. He did. He got more seasoned in the other aspects of his game. Now it's incumbent upon him to develop some sort of shot and somewhere find whatever he needs to get to have a willingness to take a shot in a game. Because if he doesn't come back with a shot next year and we're having these conversations a year from now, then I'm probably going to move to that camp going, it's time to consider trying something different. Or because you can't survive in the playoffs if he's not going to shoot in the half-court game. You just can't. They're never going to move forward. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. A couple open lines if you want to grab one. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Brian in Norristown. Joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, just about Ben Simmons. I'm a Ben Simmons hater. I've always been. I wish I wasn't. I try to get on his side, but I can't. I strongly disagree that he progressed this year. I mean, if you look at his stats, I mean, he made 0.1 more shots on 0.1 less shots. I don't see a great improvement there. He went down, you know, maybe 0.5 assists, went up 0.7 rebounds. You know, the steals numbers, block numbers are the same. I completely disagree. I don't think he improved at all this year. I didn't see a different player from this year that I saw last year around the same time. That's where I
So you don't think he matured his game in any at all?
No, because I didn't see any aggressiveness all season.
There were times when you did. You did see he was aggressive. Not sure, it's not consistent yet, though. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. There were nights where, you know, I think his savviness, he got a little more savvy on how he can get a couple more buckets here and there. You know, I think what you guys were talking about earlier is the key. You know, bringing back Jimmy Butler, Tobias, it's great, but Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have to improve, and that's how we're going to get to the finals, and that's the key to it all. That's the only way we get to a finals and win the championship is if Ben comes back with a jump shot and Joel Embiid comes back in better shape.
Well, do you think that Butler and Harris both come back?
I bounce back and forth. I think Tobias goes to Brooklyn, and I think Jimmy comes back. I hope he comes back, but yeah, I believe he comes back.
Okay, so you started off the call and said you're a Ben Simmons hater, but
yeah.
With that being said, will we go into next year? Will you go into next year and say this will be the Sixers' year to get to an NBA final?
I think it all depends on him. I do right this second. Yes,
no matter. So you'll say you'll enter that season next year saying this is our year in regards to the Sixers.
Yes. If they bring back Butler or someone around that caliber as a third piece, yeah, I think so. I have to believe that.
It provided maybe Kawhi's out of the Eastern Conference. We'll see what goes on in New York if Kyrie and KD end up in New York. Now, there was odds put out on that. I just saw that it's that KD and Kyrie end up in New York with the Knicks together. The odds were that that's not going to happen, according to Vegas. Now, does that mean anything? No. But the odds are that they won't both end up together in New York with the Knicks. Maybe if the Knicks got the number one pick in the draft, that could have been the case with Zion. But Zion may not even enter the draft now. Andrew, is there word that Zion may consider going back to Duke to avoid the Pelicans?
I think it's just talk right now. It might be just hot take stuff, but he hasn't signed an agent yet. Which means there's still the possibility that he could go back to Duke. And I know a lot of people have said that he doesn't want to go to New Orleans. So if that's the case, he could just go back to Duke. Now, if you're New Orleans, what do you start talking about trading the first overall pick? Is that what you do? Because everybody wants the crown jewel is Zion.
Well, you got to mine for that information. They have to find out if they keep the pick and they're going to select Zion, is he going to decide to go back to college, if they find out that's the case, or if they agree to a trade in some way, shape, or form that he would enter the NBA. But that's a lot of information that New Orleans has to get, and whoever the potential trade would have to get that to guarantee that Zion would come stay in the draft and they'd be able to select him.
All right, so let me ask you something because I don't know.
I don't like this when players entering a league are deciding where they play.
Oh, it's like that's the NBA nowadays, right? All of them are deciding where they want to play, it seems like. But I saw, and I hate to admit it, I watched a video of Colin Cowherd yesterday, and he was talking about the Zion Williamson situation. And he came up with this idea of trading the first overall pick to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons and the 24th pick and probably another future pick. Would you do it? Would you consider it? I'm totally out on it, but would you consider it?
No, I'm not going to consider it. No, I'm not doing that. I want to see the Simmons thing through. While it was frustrating this year with no shot, I want to see that through. I would not make that trade. I know there's a lot of people that would. A lot of Sixers fans that would. Maybe our last caller, who was, as he pointed out, was a Ben Simmons hater, would make that trade. I would not. I would not do that. If it was next year and Ben still didn't have a shot after his third year, and you were to present the same scenario, I may have a different answer. 610-632-0975. Joe and Hershey's on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe? Joe.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
How you doing, bud?
Sorry, I had a little glitch there. Hey, I always hear about, I just want to talk Ben Simmons and the jump shot thing. I always, I listen fairly often. I hear it about the jump shot all the time. But when I'm watching the games, I kind of have a problem with shooting in general. Meeting him down low when I think he should just pick it up and put it down, like dunk it. He like pushes it up off the back of the rim, or he has like an odd finger roll.
Anthony's brought that up, his finishing ability for a guy that's so graceful in the way he handles the ball and he's able to control his body. When he gets to the rim, it's a little clumsy.
Yeah, it's like it's the very last thing that's on his mind, and he goes, you know, he feels like, okay, well, I can't push this out. I got to do something with it. And it kind of comes off the palm of his hand. It bounces around odd. I think there was one drive in the last game where he spun low post, was right at the rim, and dished it out. Like, it just looked like if you're 6'10 or 6'11, that would be pretty easy.
Yeah, flush it. When you're that close, just flush it.
Yeah, I don't. It never happens. It's jump in the air too soon, float through the air,
yeah,
back to the defender, dish it out to whoever, but you're already in the air. Like, we talked about this all year. I'm not worried about that jump shot. Like, you talk about being aggressive. When you're down low, just finish the end. I mean, do not think about passing. That's what I want to see. I'm not worried about the
and that
shot.
Causes a lot of turnovers too, Joe. You get put yourself in the air and you're indecisive on where you're going to go, and that's how you end up turning the ball over.
I mean, I got a 15 and 16 year old screaming at the TV, so you know there's an issue.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'll tell you, Joe, he is one of the most polarizing guys in this city right now. You know, Wentz became a polarizing guy because of the success that Foles had, but Simmons, because we perceive this elite ability that he has, and you know, the number one overall pick, and that was the big jewel of the process, landing that number one overall pick, and obviously Embiid a couple years prior. But when you look at it, he's polarizing. There's a faction of people that are haters, and there's a faction of people that truly believe in Ben Simmons, that he'll develop a shot and become an elite player in the league. I mean, if you look for a polarizing guy, Embiid's become a little polarizing too. I think it's a vocal minority of fans when it comes to Embiid that believe he's soft or he can't stay healthy. He'll never be able to stay healthy. He's not going to have a long career. Well, those people might be right. He may not have the longest career. He may, all said and done, play 7 or 8 NBA seasons for his career. Wouldn't be the first time a guy of his size has only played, wasn't going to a 12-year NBA career. But Ben Simmons is one of the most polarizing guys in the city in a while. Now, nobody was more polarizing than Allen Iverson. The stars are often the most polarizing guys because they're of the most consequence to success in your city. quarterback is always going to be one of those guys, and Wentz has because he's gone out now 2 years in a row with injury. McNabb was very polarizing in this city, no doubt about it. Let's go to Mike right now in Delran on the Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Dom.
What's up, bud?
Hey, so I wanted to talk real quick about the Zion Williamson thing. It's funny it was brought up. I read an article today where his stepdad was on local radio down there in New Orleans. And apparently he had nothing but great things. He was talking about how they had never been down there. They were excited to get down there. They talked to Alvin Gentry, and they talked to Griffin, I guess it is, GM or whatever, and they're looking for spots to, you know, they're looking for spots to go move down. So if he was that against going to New Orleans, he'd probably say nothing. But you know, to hear that stuff, I think the NBA is a completely different game than it was when players used to demand where they want to go. Like Kobe Bryant didn't want to play with the Hornets, right? So he got traded to the Lakers. You know, because now after a season or two, it's in the player's control to just say, trade me. You know what I mean? And so I don't.
Yeah, look at Anthony Davis, right?
Right, right. I don't think he goes back to college. The risk you take, it'd be different if he was projected to be top 10, right? The guy's number one. You go get
talking about a lot of money, too.
Yeah, right, exactly. I would go play in, like, Afghanistan if you're going to pay me that much money. So it is what it is. You know, Ben Simmons thing, like, I've been against him. I've been for him. I've been on, like, a roller coaster with him his short career so far. But it goes back to the fact that when we drafted him, like he didn't get to the champion of the tournament with LSU, right? Like you would think a guy who's going to be the number one pick, transcending talent, all these skills would be enough on his own to at least will his team into a field of 64.
Yeah,
and he couldn't do it, right? So
well, Fultz the same thing,
right? Exactly, Fultz didn't make it either. And there we go picking two number one pick point guards that couldn't get their team to the tournament at all, let alone far in advance. So, you know, this year's got to be it. If he doesn't get a jump shot this year and you want to keep him on your team, you got to be happy and accept the fact that he's never going to shoot the ball and he is what he is. Because I know I got ripped on Twitter for saying this a couple weeks ago, but if he doesn't get a jump shot and he doesn't learn how to shoot free throws and finish the rim, he's at his ceiling. What more better can he get at? Can he get a couple extra rebounds a game? Can he get a couple extra assists? Maybe. But everyone says he's 22, he's 22. Without the jump shot, he's at his ceiling right now, and this is the best we're going to get from him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very rare. Thanks, Mike. That a player at 22 years old in the NBA is at his ceiling. So, I mean, he's going to develop some sort of shot. It's just how viable of a shot he's going to develop. And the really big thing is he going to be willing to shoot it? I mean, it doesn't matter if you have no confidence in it on an NBA level. If you're not willing to shoot it, it doesn't matter. He's got to be willing, too. That's the other part he's got to find. You know, it's what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Well, first he's got to develop a shot that he's got enough confidence in, then get into a game and actually put it into play. Where the opposition, when they defend him, they feel like he can pull up and take a shot and make it. Let's go to Vince in Roxborough in the Fanatic. What's up, Vince?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
All right, so I got two things. One, I want to comment on the load management thing, and then give my grade for Brett, the Sixers, and Ben and Joel.
Okay.
So first off, I think with the load management thing, as long as the team itself is good enough, or you guys are in a good enough position, talent wise, that you know games that you're resting guys that the load manage aren't games that you're going to drop. And whatever potential position you may have come playoff time, then, I mean, it is what it is. I think if you got a talented team and you guys are winning games, the fans are going to come out no matter what. Obviously the big ticket players are the ones that they're going to want to see the most. But, you know, if you're sitting Joel and Embiid and then you're losing games because of it, it just doesn't make sense. Like you're managing the load, but for what? You know, you're losing games. You're not even going to have a good spot in the playoffs anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to have home court in the playoffs, but it's, you know, like the Sixers this year, and look at Toronto. They put load management into place for Kawhi all season. They still ended up as the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. So a lot of bad teams in the NBA.
So, is there a chance that if they wouldn't have sat them in some of those games, they would have had a better spot? You know what I mean? Like I guess that's the takeaway. But I mean, the trade off.
But if he plays and they have a better spot and he's worn down come playoff time, it's not worth it. You'd rather take your chances and not have home court for one round, but a Kawhi Leonard who's rested and healthy for that round to go at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks.
But you got to roll the dice either way, especially in our position, yeah. because we can't guarantee that everybody's going to be available at playoff time. Who, imagine, you know, you get a devastating injury close to the playoffs or whatever. Either way, I just want to say my grade, and then I'll get off and listen to you guys.
All right, what's your grade for Ben?
For Ben, I'm giving Ben. Ben's a C plus student, and that's without studying. I think he can come. He can come to school and he can do enough just to pass. But he's one of those kids that the teacher has to pull to the side and say, "Listen, dude, if you applied yourself, you could be an A student. You can get a scholarship." And I just think because I haven't seen Ben improve. I mean, at best, I think he's a mediocre point guard. I don't think he's a point guard, first off. I don't even understand why they drafted Fultz if Ben was going to come out and play the point guard position. I think he can pass. I think the things that he's good at doing, he could do from the two spot. I think he makes poor decisions in late game situations. And that's one of the reasons why we have to depend on Jimmy to take the ball away from him at the end of games. He gets turnovers.
He makes create his own shot. Yeah, no, you're right, Vince. Thanks for the call. You're right. I mean, there's elements that he needs a lot of growth in. I don't know if I would agree with a C, that he's a C student, but you're right. He's going to need to be pushed, too, not only to be aggressive in going to the rim, but also to decide to take that shot. Like the coach is going to
He also said Ben should play the two.
Yeah, no, he's not a two.
Come on.
No, he's not a two.
Please.
No, that's for sure. If you want to make him the four, but the four in the league now has to be able to shoot. I don't know. He's your point guard. He's your ball handler, your primary ball handler. And that's just the way it is. 610-632-0975. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got Bring the Heat. We'll find out what the people delivered last night as Jake Arrieta lost his fourth game of the season. And the Phils, we'll find out what the people had to say on the Bring the Heat line. 610-632-0975, Midday Show, live from Downingtown Country Club, the Mike Miss Open, back after this.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Bring the Heat coming up at the top of the hour. Not a lot of heat today, just gorgeous weather. Mid-May, nice slight breeze.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, Downingtown Country Club. Of course, it's beautiful, Andrew.
I got a nice view of a nothing.
Yeah, well, you only got like 8 more hours to go. Jamie stopped by. He said the morning show is minus one. They started out on a par three and bogeyed it. Starting out on a par three, not good. That's a tough spot. You want to pull out your driver on the first hole of the day. You don't want to go with like pulling six iron on the first hole of the day.
Yeah, you know what? I like so my parents live in Brigantine, so they have a course down there that sort of goes through the neighborhoods, and the first hole and the 10th hole are both par fives. And I like that because you're just ready to rip to start the round. Then after you get the, you know, the beer and the hot dog after the ninth hole, you're like, all right, back to the 10th hole. And I'm smashing this one too.
Yeah. You're going to come out of your shoes on that one too. You feel like a par five is more forgiving.
Yes, exactly.
So if you spray it a little bit, you're all right. PGA Championship getting started today, by the way. The leader right now, let me just refresh this to make sure it's accurate. Brooks Koepka has got the lead right now at minus six, two up on Luke List. Three up on Tommy Fleetwood, four up on a bunch of golfers. Justin Rose minus one, Ricky Fowler's at minus one. Tiger Woods, he was minus one. Now I don't see him here. Where's Tiger now all of a sudden? Let me see. Am I just not seeing Tiger? Why don't I see Tiger all of a sudden? Did he blow up on a hole or something? I'm trying to, oh wow, Tiger's now plus one through 16. Just a couple minutes ago I looked and he was minus one. I'll have to look at his card. He must have had a double. Maybe a triple bogey or something in there. Killing Tiger right now.
That's a huge loss.
What, he doubled one and then he had an eagle later in his round. But right now, Okay, so he just had, yeah, he had a double bogey. Wow.
Yeah, he's still hungover, man, after winning the Masters.
Okay, so he started out with a 6 on hole number 10. He also doubled 17, took a 5 on the par 3. He had the eagle you talked about on 4. He had a double on 5 and a bogey on 7. Tiger, 1 over right now. Can he win the second leg and get 2 majors in a row after shocking everyone with the win at the Masters? We shall see. A lot of golf ahead. Real quick, too, Andrew, I don't know if you saw this, but you're not a Game of Thrones guy. I'm trying to watch it. I'm only in season 2, so I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot. And I'm not going to give you any spoilers here. But apparently people are not happy. There's a change.org petition.
Oh, we have another petition?
Another petition.
About what?
Apparently it's got 350,000 signatures, or people that went online and signed it, to have season 8 remade with competent writers. People are not happy with how this show is coming to its end. I guess the finale's this Sunday. The goal is to gather 500,000 signatures of people that are dissatisfied with how the 8th and final season of the show is playing out. So what do? They start a change.org petition.
Well, I heard something a few weeks ago that the writers of the previous seasons, it's not the same writers because, or they were basing it off the book or something
Book, yeah, Anthony was telling it yesterday.
And the books weren't done fast enough, so they decided to do it their own way.
So would they bring in a Bobo writer?
I guess.
Finish it up?
You know what? Find something worth writing a petition for. Or for the people that do the GoFundMe things, like, oh, GoFundMe, let's get Brett Brown out of town. How about you donate money to a real cause? I'm sick of these petitions, sick of these GoFundMes for things that we shouldn't really worry about. All right, I'm happy that you guys enjoy your show, but come on, find a new hobby if you're writing petitions about this.
Yeah, if somebody passes away and a family needs help, by all means, let's raise money. If there's a kid that an accident happens to, or you want to raise money for a worthy cause, I'm all for it. Putting a change.org petition together to remake a season of a television show is absolutely absurd. I know people put a lot into it, and they're into the show, and they're disappointed, but give me a break.
Let me tell you something. These change.org things, it never really happens.
You're just wasting your time.
You can set a goal like, hey, we want 500,000 signatures. But does that mean the people who run Game of Thrones actually said, if you get 500,000 signatures, we'll change it?
Yeah, they're not doing it.
No, they're doing it for themselves.
Yeah. Just to garner a little headline, which we just gave them.
Losers.
Bring the heat coming up momentarily. Hawk in Philly right now is on the Fanatic. Hey, Hawk.
Bro, we got 300,000 voters for Game of Thrones. We're 300,000 for security for our young loved ones in our school system. I'm just sad where our country is right now.
Our priorities are out of whack. I totally agree.
Out of whack. Look at our president. But anyway, I'm just going to say, for the Sixers, man, I'm going B- across the board, B+ across the board, Ben Simmons. Only thing is, you took a science project, a power forward from LSU, and you've seen intangibles to make him a point guard. Why didn't you have a Hall of Fame or maybe a Jason Kidd or somebody supported under him just to tutor young man and groom him from what it is? Because now, when you see every team mimic the same defense on a half-court set, that should wake you up. Because going into next season with teams getting stronger and everyone progressing, we don't even have our identity established of who we want to be on offense. How can we go forward? That's the only scary part that I see. And I feel as though it's a science project. Have someone support this young man. Have him in the gym. Teach him. Have someone tutor him.
One thing about that, though, is they can only control what he does in the offseason, very limited,
That is true.
Yeah, the CBA, they can't control the player in the offseason. It's part of the deal. So he can go out and hire who he wants. He can work with his brother to help him develop his shot or whatever he chooses to do. He has the right to do it.
Yeah, and you're right, Jay. And it's just the scary part. Even if we bring everyone in, next year, knock on wood, and just a couple free agents, why not try to throw some stupid money? But we're a little bit fearful of that because we're on a repeat, and it's wait and see. We wish the season could start right now, but that's just the scary part. And far as Embiid, everyone's saying the same thing. I wonder if the organization take heed, but it's just that with this young man. And then it got to come what's in your chest. Do you want to get better? It's all in your chest, too, and in your head. Do you want to get better and mentally give a hump? Because one of his scouting reports, he's the opportunistic score, meaning if unless it's wide open, maybe he has a problem with that. Unless it's wide open, Maybe he's not taking it. It's a lot of things we don't know, but it's a wait and see, Jay, man. It's a pleasure calling you. I know I don't get a chance to call as much, but, man, isn't it killing us a wait and see again with two organizations, Eagles and this, and now the Phillies? This is gut-wrenching. But here's the question. I'm asking y'all, if LeBron would have chose us, we'll be in the finals right now, and that's all I got.
Ooh.
If he would have chose us.
All right, so if LeBron would have decided to come to the Sixers and not go to L.A., that plane trip out there when they met with LeBron's representation, which turned out to be a token, here you go, we'll give you guys a visit. If he would have decided to come to the Sixers, would they be in the NBA final? Or go at least the conference final? I believe they would at least be in the conference final. I would have to think. Now, LeBron got hurt this year. Obviously, what happened out there in L.A., they didn't make the playoffs. But I got to believe that they would have been a team perhaps ticketed for the NBA final.
I agree, but you also do have to take into account that they wouldn't have made those trades.
Yeah, they wouldn't have got Butler and they wouldn't have got Harris.
So you still would have had Covington and Dario Saric. The only thing is I wonder what would LeBron have done. Because we all know that LeBron is part-time GM, whatever team he's on. So I wonder what moves he would try to make during the season.
And they probably wouldn't have hired Elton Brand at that time, because Elton wasn't hired yet, was he? When LeBron decided to go to L.A.? No, he wasn't there yet. Brett was the de facto GM when free agency started. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we're broadcasting at Downingtown Country Club, the Mike Miss Open, here today on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.